Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the weekly podcast for women, for everyone, I guess.
Yeah.
But for women, by women.
We're inclusive.
Yeah.
Happy Pride Month, everyone.
We talk about lots of stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about something tonight.
Are we prepared? ?
Yep. Thank you for joining us. We're so glad that you're here. My name is Caroline.
I'm Hannah.
And we're so glad that you're here today. We're also redundant. Didn't I already say that?
No. Did you?
Maybe.
Find out when I edit this.
It's been that kind of day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say it's 8:05 p.m. So It's been like a hailstorm of 13 hours.
Yeah. That's accurate. Speaking of hailstorms, what are women up to?
Oh, yeah.
Is that
It
felt like a pro move.
Yeah. I have so many. You would be so proud of me. I have notes.
I am. Okay. Hit it.
Where do you want to start?
Sarah texted us something cool.
Okay.
About women.
You start with that.
Okay. So our friend Sarah, who we talked about last week, texted us about the show Chernobyl on HBO, which I have heard very good things about.
I have too.
I want to check it out. There's a female composer, a woman composer for their soundtrack, and I was like, oh, what are the stats of that? And she sent me some information.
Outsourcing your research.
Yeah, I'm like, I could look it up, but I don't know.
Here's the deal, friends. You come with us. You come to us with a blog idea. Do the research.
Send me the link.
We just want to copy and paste that.
She sent me a great link, but and by great, I mean tragic, because women make up 1.8% of composers.
That's it?
Yeah. So, because I can name several men who compose like my favorite soundtracks.
Yeah.
Like, I love Ramin Djawadi, who does Westworld and Game of Thrones, and others, but I'm just like, oh, I don't know of any. Do you know of any women?
No, I don't.
This one is Hildur Gudnadottir.
You're really good at that.
Yes. I mean, maybe. Who knows?
Da.
Hildur. I doubt it's Russian. It's probably Swedish.
Hildur.
Danish.
Yep.
Sounds
Hildur,
Viking.
DM daughter. Us. Let us know.
Yeah, no doubt she will.
Gudnadottir.
Gudnadottir. Hildur Gudnadottir. Sounds cool.
It sounds great.
Yeah.
Her music probably sounds as good.
Yeah, I bet so. So yeah, I'm dying to watch that show. But anyway, thanks for bringing up the women, Hildur.
Yeah, I'm glad that we're talking about women in entertainment. So I have been very into Netflix right now.
We
finished The Office for the 18th time, and I didn't know what to watch this weekend. I turned on two movies that were excellent.
Okay. Oh, hit it.
Dumplin' was one of them.
Oh,
have you seen it?
No, but I wanted to. Like, people were raving about this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in typical me fashion, it was not like cutting edge. It came out like
months
ago.
It was pretty recent.
But
it was pretty cutting edge for Caroline.
Yeah, it was.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it has Jennifer Aniston in it. The best part is it is directed by a female, Anne Fletcher, and Kristen Hahn wrote the screenplay adapted from a novel by Julie Murphy.
Right. I think Kristen Hahn, her name sounds familiar.
She's an actress. You would know her. Hang on. I'll show you her picture. But it was just so, it was just very good. Oh, not the same Kristen Hahn I was thinking of, but.
Were you thinking of Catherine Hahn?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was like, well, look at her.
Yeah.
I don't know. In that case, you probably don't know her.
She does look kind of familiar. But yeah, that's great. I got to catch that. What else did you watch?
And then I also watched Always Be My Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's also like a rom-com.
Love it.
Starring Ali Wong. Also with maybe the best celebrity cameo I've ever seen by Keanu Reeves.
Oh, it's a cameo?
Oh, it's incredible. He plays himself.
Oh, I love Ali Wong.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But Ali Wong was one of the writers on it.
Oh, good.
And it was also directed by a female. So I was really thrilled.
I didn't know about that. I think I did see that advertised. But when you texted me, I'm watching a movie with Keanu Reeves. That wasn't
what you thought of. So it's an all Asian cast.
That's
plus
awesome.
Keanu Reeves.
Plus Keanu Reeves, naturally.
So it is very worth the watch.
I've got to get into that. Speaking of Netflix, When They See Us, just released by Ava DuVernay.
Yep.
And I'm dying to watch this. I'm not dying to watch it because I'm like, this is going to be a great watch. But I think it's important that we all watch it, and especially white people, to understand how black and brown people feel about the justice system.
Will you give us a synopsis of what it's about?
So When They See Us, should have started with that, is a movie about the Central Park Five. Mm-hmm. When was this?
And it's a four-part,
it's a mini-series. Mm-hmm. And did I say movie?
Mm-hmm.
Series. And I don't know the full, I've got to watch it. I didn't like look it up because I didn't want it to be ruined. But what I think happened was there was a white woman raped in Central Park. And these five young 14 to 16 year old black boys were put away for it up until a couple years ago.
I believe it was really recent.
It was really recent. So, and it's just like the show is about the way they were profiled and just like locked away as children and not treated fairly by the system. And she's an amazing filmmaker in person. So,
well, I have been told about that to definitely don't binge it.
Because it's heavy.
Yes, but the advice I was given was to watch it, but to really sit with each episode, because if you binge it, you're really not going to like process through it. But especially as like a white person watching it, like really sit in it for a minute before you move on to the next. So
that's good advice.
I thought that was good advice because especially in this binge.
Yeah.
Binge
where you're
culture.
Like done. Like you get like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
To like press the pause button on Netflix.
For sure.
That's a good point. I will do that. That's good advice. But,
I also have some reading to tell you about.
Let's hit it. What are women reading?
Or writing.
Well, that's what I meant. What are women writing?
This woman, me, is...
Are you putting out a book? You better not put out a book before me.
Sucker.
This whole time.
Yeah. Position open for new co-host while I go on my book tour.
Yeah, exactly. And I sit here sad in Charlotte.
So I have been reading a lot.
I've been in a reading season as well.
Well, my two-year-old, when she describes something as a lot, she calls it a lot little bit, which is really confusing.
Sure.
But if she wants a snack, she'll make a lot little bit.
Covers all her bases.
Yeah, whatever amount you
give
her.
Self-control, Caroline.
So I just finished Educated by Tara Westover.
Yes, I'm dying to audiobook this one.
Again, so I tend to not read books that are like trending.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like to buy into that.
Don't tell me what to do.
Like, so counterculture. That's exactly right. I'm like, okay, how basic can I be?
Yeah.
So I waited and waited. My friend Amy told me I had to read it. And I was like, okay. Also, what helped out was that it was on like 47,000 hold at the library.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm months behind on the audiobook. I tried to borrow it like a month ago when you first talked about it. So whatever that was.
Can you listen to audiobooks like as a person?
You can. Oh, me as a person?
Yeah. Like I know that you prefer, as a...
Yeah. Humans can.
Yes. Right. Tracking with that.
I prefer nonfiction as audiobooks. I don't know why.
Okay.
But, yes, I can. And it depends. I can't like... Fiction, because it's weird to me when someone does like multiple voices.
Oh, cool.
Like that's back like in the day.
That's my pet peeve.
Yeah. Like back in the day. That is. Yeah.
I cannot handle
but like
that.
Like Mindy can't. Like when comedians do it, it's like perfect because they wrote it. So like Trevor Noah's book was perfect on audiobook because it's like him delivering.
I guess now that I listen to a lot of podcasts, I could get behind it because I'm used to listening.
You should be only listening to one podcast, but whatever.
Two.
But
I mean, lots of episodes of our own podcast.
Obviously, just re-listening. But back in the day, I don't remember why I had Twilight on audiobook. And like back in the day, I was a young thing.
Uh-huh.
And the audiobook reader, this like was like in my memory. Like I just remember she would be like, da da da, Bella. And then some character was like, hey, Bella.
Oh, gross.
Like sounded exactly like me. And I'm like,
I cannot handle that. I can't. And I also think it's cheating. I know it's not cheating. But I'm like, if you're going to say you read a book, like,
I just
put your
need
eyes
the info.
On the words.
Yeah, that's probably why I feel, because for me, if I'm reading, like reading is an experience to me and I want that experience with fiction. With nonfiction, I'm learning.
Yeah. Okay. I could get behind that. But that is still like my ongoing issue with my Kindle. I want the whole experience of
holding
the book.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I think I could read Educated from what you've described.
I think that you could because it's like this beautifully written memoir.
Right.
And if you don't know what it is, Educated is by Tara Westover. She is the youngest of six and lived in basically like a very fundamentalist Mormon household that was kept like off the grid, raised by a father who's a doomsday prepper. Hmm. And her life is tragic and inspiring and empowering and everything in between. And again, as somebody who doesn't read nonfiction, it was harrowing and I loved it. I just really,
really
loved
it. It sounds like a really enthralling story.
Yeah, it's hard to read at times and you're so frustrated with her at times, but it's just a great story.
That's very interesting. I'm going to check that one out. Well, hopefully, fingers crossed when it comes to me.
Yeah, exactly. When it's delivered to you. Secondarily, I want to talk about a book called Good Luck With That by Kristen Higgins. I've read a few of her books. They tend to be like lighter, kind of chick lit fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Good Luck With That is, of all the fiction books I've read recently, it has stuck with me like in such a poignant way.
Okay.
It is about three best friends that met at weight loss camp, but it's told.
Wait, fiction.
Fiction.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's like one of those books with three parts. So each chapter is from someone else. But one of the characters is one who has passed away from complications of her obesity. And like her journal pages that are like so heartbreaking of like, today's the day I'm going to do it. You know, like all of these different things. And so it kind of talks about all of them and their weight loss and their body confidence and whatever. And it's just beautifully written. So Kristen Higgins, good luck with that. It seems like it's going to be fluffy, and it is an easy read, but it just really stays with you. It's a really powerful story.
That's good. I'll check that out.
And it's different. It's like a different point of view than like an Elin Hildebrand, who I also like.
You've talked about her.
Here We Are on Nantucket.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's different. I haven't ever read anything with that angle of a story, and I really loved it.
Yeah. I was finally, speaking of library wait lines,
yeah,
I finally got On the Come Up on my Kindle.
Oh, okay.
By Angie Thomas. It's her follow-up from The Hate U Give.
Okay.
And that book, like, caught me, like, was really into it. It's a YA book, and it's just so good.
Like, that stands for young adult, for those of you who are not hip to literature
Those
terms.
Of you who are young, like me, and who like YA.
Those of you who are young adults are just like, oh, it's a book for me.
Exactly. Line up. But I mean, it's really good. Like, it's really enthralling. And it's, The Hate U Give was about a girl who saw her friend killed by a policeman right in front of her.
Spoiler alert.
And then it was the beginning. It's the book cover.
That's how I felt when I was just talking about good luck with that. I'm like, ooh, do I tell her that she died? And it's like the first thing that happens.
So. Yeah. Okay. Well, good. It's like the end. And then On the Come Up is like a follow up. Like, it's not a sequel. Like, it's not about the same characters. This character is mentioned like one time.
Oh, I like
one or two times. Yeah, I like it too. So it's like in that, like,
have you ever read
vein. It's very good. Pick it up.
Okay. I will. Have you ever read anything by Beatriz Williams?
I don't think so.
She's like historical fiction, but she's like that in that you can pick up. I get really annoyed if I start a book and realize it's like the second 12. Book in a series.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Oh, yeah.
But this you can pick up. It's like all stories within these families. So sometimes it's about one sister and sometimes it's about another. Mm-hmm. So they're not really sequels to any of them. It's just like
you can read one without having read. Yeah.
Yeah. You just now like start to know the characters and everything, which is really nice.
Yeah. I like that way of writing as well. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff to read. As usual, women are doing a lot of cool things. You said something about chick lit a little bit ago, or chick flick.
Chick lit.
I think
I probably said both. I said both.
In my mind, maybe. Chick flicks are, like, coming back, though. Which
and
I
I'm think so
is,
glad.
Yeah, because, like, Mindy Kaling has, well, her late night movie is out or coming. I don't. But then she has, like, her remake of Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't remember when it's coming out, but it's got, like, some big people. But, again, it's, like, people who... the girl from it's the girl who plays Missandei in Game of Thrones, who I was like so annoyed about when she was killed off and blah blah. So like when I saw the Instagram ad for it, the whole comments like brrr, like Missandei, that's Missandei, Missandei's there.
Oh, that's funny.
It's like she plays like, but that I think it's like chick flicks, like, because for a while there like weren't any new chick flicks.
I know, which I hated, not because like I need that genre, but like if I'm gonna watch a movie, I have to be in the right mood to like really invest in something heavy at the end of the day.
Agreed.
So like. And I don't like stupid comedies. Like, slapsticky stuff is not mine. But anyway, I do miss a good chick flick.
Yeah. Yes. And Booksmart is out, too, which I'm really dying to watch.
I do want to watch that as well.
It looks good.
I have one more thing that women are writing that I want to talk about.
Okay.
I read a great article today by a fellow mom.
Love it.
But I want to tell you more about it after our break.
Edge of our seats. Caroline, I have news for you.
I'm ready for it. Can't wait.
You're a lineage family now.
We're in the lineage.
Yes.
Tell me more.
You've made the switch.
We have made the switch.
I have to get you more coffee. But anyway.
How did this happen and I didn't know about
it? Well, you're not always around. Okay. I am always around.
Are you mom shaming? Because I don't like that.
You're not always present is what I'm saying.
Again.
And so it's been like beautiful weather out.
Yes.
And so I'm sitting on my back deck having coffee the other morning. I like sit down with a book and coffee and I like can mostly see the kids. I mean, they're fine. They're old
enough
now.
Yeah.
And like Anna Blair comes wandering into my on my back deck. And she's like dragging her little bunny Lovey and just looks so.
I'm
like,
sorry. Small bunny.
Tired. Yes. She's dragging small bunny Airy. And I'm like, oh, hey. Good morning. And she just, I'm like, do you want a good morning hug? And she like crawls over. She's just like so sweet and cuddly. Anyway, and so then David comes over and he was talking to me about his thoughts on the latest podcast.
Of course.
And so I was like, oh, do you want a cup of coffee? I just made this coffee. And so he's like, and then he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I just like, I've got to try this
lineage
coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, it's right in there. So he poured himself a little cup and came right out and had it black.
Okay.
And he is hooked.
So you and David went cupping.
Yes.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah.
He cupped. You cupped with cupped. David. And he loved it.
And he's in. He's a Lineage fan. We talked a little bit of garbage about you putting stuff in your coffee.
I feel like that is fair.
Yeah. But I was talking to him about Jarrett always saying to people, like, you know what? Just do me like, oh, how do you take your coffee? Oh, take it with cream and sugar. Just do me a favor and just give it a taste without it and just see what you think. And like people always try. So David did that. And he was like, oh, it's like, you know, as a chef, when you prepare something and you don't want it changed before it's tried, like, you know, if you bring out
like,
your
don't add salt. Yet,
right. Or, yeah. Ketchup or whatever. Yeah. I don't know that they're doing that over at the Loyalist Market.
Sure, but they are.
But yeah, I thought that was a really good comparison that I hadn't thought of. Like,
yeah, that's a great analogy.
Don't change it. Just
yeah,
take
like
the
trust
coffee.
The expert.
Yeah. Trust the expert.
Basically the opposite of what we're doing on this podcast.
we are not. Other people are. Experts do exist.
We are not experts. Change whatever you want about this podcast.
Change whatever you want.
But this coffee.
Don't not download it.
That's right.
We need that.
We need every download counts.
Yeah, exactly. And while you're doing that, buy Lineage Coffee.
Yep.
LineageRoasting.com, code a good idea for a special offer. And let us know how much you love it. And if you don't love it, you're wrong. I'm just kidding. Perfect. You will love it.
That's the kind of feedback we love around here. Okay. Let's talk about this.
Let's get deep into this.
Okay, so I read this article today on Motherly that talks about self-care is not enough to fix how much moms are burnout.
Which spoke to me immediately.
And I would say that's what it's about. It's also literally the headline. So if you'd like to look for it,
yeah,
that's great.
I'll link it.
But I felt like I could have written this article. You felt that way?
I felt like I wouldn't have had the words before I read it.
Yeah. You know, we have had an episode on self-care.
Multiple on mental load.
All of them on mental load.
Yeah.
But I felt like it gave some framework to feel freedom of why, like, going to get my nails done or taking a bath or uncorking wine at the end of the day. Well, that's all fine. Mm-hmm. It can feel like one more thing to do versus, like, any kind of, like, I don't know, catharsis in our lives. So basically it was talking about it is okay to acknowledge that there is an ever-present worry, guilt, stress, and that the burnout is so real.
Right.
And even like this kind of superficial self-care is not addressing that like really deep-rooted thing that I think our generation of women are dealing with.
Yeah. And unrelated to that, I've recently seen an article about how burnout is becoming diagnosed as a
interesting
as an illness, like, or as a thing. Like, doctors can now say, like, you have burnout. Because of this whole like hustle and mentality that we talked about before, but like it's such a real thing. And I was talking to you this weekend about like it just feels like so much on you at a time. Like, because not only is there like, it's not only about like the pressure of like choosing what kind of woman you want to be.
Right.
Like whether you want to have kids or whether you don't want to have kids, whatever your choice is, you will have to defend it.
Mm-hmm.
And you will also have to like, either you will have to like assign yourself to like a general style or trope or way of life, or you will have to defend that.
Yeah, for sure.
From anyone, like even if it's from your own mind, like even if no one is directly saying something to you, like there's a lot of like, for me, like, well, what if they think this or this? Like, you know, I still deal with that.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about like, it really gets to me lately when people like brag on their wives as mothers.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm like, you're garbage, stop bragging. Like,
she's not that great.
She sucks. But I mean, it's not like I care about like, it's not like a mushy post, but like when someone, like especially around Mother's Day, or like on people's birthdays when people are like, my wife is the best mother. She's so patient. Mm-hmm. She doesn't let it get to
her.
We
couldn't do this without her.
We couldn't do this without her. Like all these things.
That's a big one for me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because you need someone to say it.
Yeah. It's like that public affirmation.
Right. But I mean, and I told you, I think I've said this a couple times, like last year or something. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama said something publicly about Michelle Obama. And he was like, you make parenting look easy. And like, I've always thought, Pasan will never say that about me. It's like, I don't make parenting look easy. I don't feel like...
I think
like,
you do. I don't think you give yourself enough credit on that.
Maybe not. But that,
you
that's
navigate
the thing, is
like
where,
difficult conversations so well. And like Sarah, who we've acknowledged now, right? Like three times.
In this.
Yeah. Friend of the pod. Mm-hmm. Sarah, we talk about the ways that we talk to our kids now are like we try to sound like you.
I knew everyone was talking about me.
Yeah. You're so just, if this was like you fishing for compliments in this episode, yeah. There you go.
No, I'm your done. One. Episode over. Cool. This is my one. I'm set for a year. But I mean, it doesn't feel that way to me. And it's probably because like when I'm outside, like, and this is what I think this article that she writes is really boiling down to. Like, we're women without a village. Like, whatever yeah. women we choose to be, like, when I'm outside in front of you guys, I'm with my village.
Right.
So I'm at my best. Like, I'm able to, like, best be a person. Mm-hmm. Because, like, that's a good point. That's how people need to be. Like, it's like my body misses what it's never had and it's never been an option of having, but, like, mm-hmm. knows that, like, what we need is to, like, be doing something together.
Yeah.
Like, we need to be doing some sort of life together.
Well, it immediately lifts the burden. Like,
right. Like, it's a breath of fresh air for me to step outside with the rest of our community there that we have.
For sure. And, like, you and I have both had rough days today, but mm-hmm. I felt like the minute that we got in the car, it was like, okay, let's right. just, like, unload with each other in a way that right. felt very safe, very understanding. Mm-hmm. And it was like good, bad, and ugly. Here's where,
right.
where we stand right we're now. At.
Let's do a good job on this podcast.
Versus like, you know, I've talked about a lot that, you know, I pride myself on never crying at work. And today I got so emotional at work. Mm-hmm. I did not cry for the record, but I still wanted to,
Right.
And it was just like, I felt like everything had come to a head of these individual things that I wrestle with. And it was like, right. they all kind of came to a head today. I'm also on my period, so maybe that's part of it. But things you needed to know.
Probably unrelated.
But in this article, it states that 51% of moms feel discouraged when it comes to managing the stress of work and motherhood. And that right. doesn't necessarily mean like work as a career. Like we were talking this weekend that there's a huge piece of work as a woman that comes with like a stabilizing emotions. I don't know the right way to
yeah,
say that.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is like,
that's like the old diatribe of like, if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Ugh, happy wife, happy yeah. happy life. I don't like that either, but it does still feel like it's on my shoulders.
Yeah.
Like no matter your situation, it kind of feels like as women, we're the torch bearers.
Did you not know?
Yeah.
Coming soon.
Yeah, no doubt. No, like the we hold the weight. We're the Atlas. That one.
Yeah, that's good.
That should
that's
be the name of your book.
Well, I okay. Well,
holding up everyone's emotions. That's the end of, that's the rest of the title.
That's good. Okay, good. Well, I had seen something on Instagram a while ago that rubbed me the wrong way, but it actually like I didn't disagree with it either.
Yeah.
About as moms, like we're the memory makers, mm-hmm. which again felt a little like vomitous to me, but it was like really true that like I feel the weight of making sure that things stay in a certain tone mm-hmm. and that we are seizing all these opportunities to make all these things. And it doesn't even mean like overbooking, but it's like I don't want to not be a piece of those memories that my kids are making, or I don't want to like right. keep them from those things. And like it's a small piece, but that's where like this comparison trap feels like.
Right.
So for you, it's the public acknowledgement.
Well, and I don't even know if it's the public acknowledgement, like, because when I think about it, it doesn't necessarily make me feel like, oh, I wish Passan would like post stuff on Instagram. Yeah. Like last posted on Instagram last year. So yeah. It's not personal.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I don't think it's not like I don't truly like when I'm like, OK, which of these people do I want to know something nice about me? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, truly, like, what it is I don't feel that way about myself.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need someone saying that about me. I need to feel that way myself.
Yeah.
And so I'll, like, talk to Passan about it. And he will, like, go through his day and, like, keep that in mind and offer me more compliment. Like, nothing really changes.
Yeah.
Like, all those things, all those boxes can be checked off. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, like, change. Like, I've literally in the past been like, what day was it? It was, like, my birthday or Mother's Day. And I'm like, here's your caption.
We both said that.
Like, upload
yeah.
this photo. And he's done that before. And it's like, it doesn't check the box. Like, it has to come from me.
Yeah. And you want it to be like spurred organically.
Well, no, but I mean, just in the feeling of like, this person said this nice about their wife. Why does that bug me? It's because like, I don't feel like
that way about yourself.
Right. I don't feel like I've got it all under control.
Yeah.
And so then I'm like, okay, well, what am I doing wrong? And then mm-hmm. I'm like, well, let me look at my day and figure out how I can wake up and like write down some affirmations about like yeah. being patient. And then like immediately I lose my mind because I just want a clean house and you mm-hmm. can't have a clean house and have happy children. That's just something
it
I
just
believe.
Doesn't happen. Yeah. I agree.
Like either you can have a clean, organized house or you can have carefree, happy kids.
Yeah,
and right. like, I don't know. I'm like
there's
losing
no intersection
it
of the
now
two.
Trying. Yeah. yeah. And so it's first of all, it's made me realize, I think I need to take a closer look at like what I need for my mental health.
Yeah. I think that this to me boils down to mental health.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think, wasn't April mental health awareness? May, I mean, I think we missed.
I think every month is mental health.
Yeah. I mean, I think, but I mean, I think it's important to talk about because there's a big, there's just a lot. There's a lot around mental health, like to stigmatize it. And there's a lot of efforts to destigmatize it. And,
but you know, on the same way, I think that, I don't know, typical America, we've gone too far in either extreme. You know, kind of, we talked about like the wine mommy culture last week and it's become like so flippant. So it ignores people that do have real issues.
Right.
I feel that way again with the wine culture in particular with mental health. And like, if somebody's like, well, just take a Xanax or just do whatever. Right. And it's like, well, yeah.
Right. That could be part of a solution.
Yeah.
But, not.
But let's like really examine that and not be so trite about it or flip about it.
Right. And she like, said, she made a point to say that too. Like,
yeah,
there is no, like, what's the answer is to like be vulnerable openly.
One of the things that she says in here to your point is, you're burnt out because you're constantly juggling the pressure to spend ample time being truly present with your child with the pressure to have a clean and decluttered home. She agrees with
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
You cannot.
Right. Like, you can't. And I can't. I'm like, all right, I've already, like, I shouldn't be getting this upset about, like, stuff being all over the floor. But it also is truly important to me. So I also want them to be clean people. Mm-hmm. And, not, like, it's just a really hard balance to find.
Well, and I found, like, for me, I, you know, I've mentioned before that I've taken Zoloft and I am currently not to see where my baseline mm-hmm. is, if it's something that I still need, because I don't want to just take it for 15 years if I don't really need it. But I found myself like last week, it was, you know, that typical, like, I'd just gotten home from work. I was trying to do dinner. I wanted everything to be happy because we had like an hour and a half before the girls went to bed. And, mm-hmm. you know, like that's the time that we're going to make these memories and have this
right.
fun. And
yeah.
Norbeth wanted her Marble Works thing set up. And I really like to do that with her. But then I also have all these rules about marbles because Jane Ellis was still awake. And
yeah.
Then,
and it's a hardwood floor, so they go everywhere.
Of course. And
she's rich. She has hardwood floors.
Very rich.
Just kidding.
They're laminate. but
peasant.
She and Anna Blair had split up the colors. And at some point I was like, where are four blue and four orange? Because that's what we had. And Norma's like, we didn't have all those. And I was like, yes, we did. And I like lost it.
Yeah.
And it was like, it doesn't matter. Jane Ellis is in her high chair and about to go right to bed. But then right. like the marble thing fell over. The girl started crying. And I like just got in her face and I was like, stop.
Yeah.
And then like, I was just like, who am I? Like, I feel so out of control of my emotions. Yeah. And I think, like, for me, what I'm finding out is, like, control is such a core piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of stigmatize control as, like, control freaks are over here.
Oh,
but I
good
do
point.
Think that
yeah.
there's, like, a real sense of, with mental health, knowing what you are in control of over and, like, where you feel the optimum amount of control. It doesn't necessarily mean, like, you're micromanaging every part of everybody's day. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, I felt very out of control of my own emotions. And I
yes.
know it had been, like, a pressure cooker all day. But the person who got the brunt of that was Norbeth.
The child.
Yeah, for no reason except she didn't know we had every color of the marbles and the thing fell over
right.
and she was crying. She was tired. And I was, too.
But it's also always going to be a pressure cooker
yeah.
of a day. Like, you can't, like, my problem is, like, in my trying to wake up and be positive about something, I'm like, it's going to be great. But, like, it probably likely won't
be. You're idealizing
it. Right,
what?
You idealize it. And that's really hard for me to, what's hard for me is to accept that, like, it won't be great. And I can still, like,
well,
I, and I don't
like
feel.
Well, that feels, like, so
fatalist. Right, it does. And, like, I have a really hard time, like, evening out my emotions in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel defeated because I'm like, I do everything for you. Like
yeah.
every move that a parent makes, whatever you are doing, whether you choose to work and have childcare, whether you choose to stay home, whether you find a mix in between, every move is for them. And
yeah.
it feels very frustrating to not ever feel appreciated to the
mm-hmm.
level. And like, for sure, no parent is adequately appreciated.
For sure.
My own parents are
yeah.
not, because you never know, like, no one but you knows
yeah.
the thought process that you all are going through.
And like, for some person, it may be breezy to set up Marble
mm-hmm.
Works game or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody else, like, mentally, that could be a huge challenge to even get there to, like,
it gives me anxiety,
forget about
just
something
thinking
else
about
and
it.
Sit on the floor and build marbles.
Yeah.
I love it. But for you, like, that might be, like, totally
right.
insurmountable. And so the fact that you did it is the win.
Right.
You know?
And the thing is, like, I want to do those things.
Yeah.
Because like I want to do those things. Like
yeah,
I wanna
you want
be like
to enjoy it.
Right. Because and also like I guess kind of logistically speaking, that's not really the word I'm looking for, but like STEM toys are the important ones.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we talk all about like or we talk and read about, like, how do we raise them to be, like, right. you know, in STEM and stuff like that. And, like, I don't like to do any of those activities. Like, I'm just, like, I'm too anxious about the mess it's going to cause.
Yeah.
And so, like, at this point, I'm, like, the amount of times in my day I've said, that gives me anxiety or that stresses me out. Like, mm-hmm. I'm, like, this is a problem.
Yeah.
And, like, I need to address it.
Mm-hmm. And but good for you for being self-aware enough to realize it.
Well, I've been a parent for almost 5 years, so maybe not good. maybe it's taken a minute.
Everything changes. I mean, I think adding a second changes where your threshold is. Mm-hmm. At certain ages, your threshold is going to change. Like,
true.
You may have a much higher threshold for a 9-year-old than I will. You know, like, true. Whatever comes with, you know, is the thing. But it's like, for me, I could not shake then that I had, like, ruined our time together.
Right.
And she was totally fine after, but you know, then I'm like looking on Instagram or whatever. I'm like, look at all these moms like playing together to have fun.
Oh, they're having a happy day.
And I tend to not think of myself as like falling into that comparison trap on social, but I'm like, damn it. I messed up the day.
Right.
Because I could not get in control of my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I feel like the moment I step through the door, I have to become this robot or this automaton that like doesn't have real feelings and valid feelings.
Right.
And therefore, when I do feel them, that feels like a fault. And it's not a fault to experience a range of emotions.
No,
so that's how I feel.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel, too. And it's
a control thing for me.
It's a control thing for me. And it's also a matter. And I've talked about this before in some different regards of like what should me as a mom look like?
Yeah.
And like, at what point is this a problem? Because like, I'm not like I desperately like wanted them and I want my life with them. But like, if I'm like stressed out all day, every day, like that doesn't.
Well, yeah, it's robbing you of the life that is ultimately like destined for you. Like that sounds like your life was designed for you. I mean, you know, it just was and whatever
like
you believe
better,
in.
But whatever. Okay. Fine.
But like that is robbing you mm-hmm. of that joy.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And so I think a part of this is like, I think there are a lot of parts to like a solution. And we've talked before about how important it is to find a community. Not everyone can do that.
Yeah.
That's just a bit the sad reality. I mm-hmm. wish we all could. But I think another big part of it is like understanding when you should talk to a doctor. Because like, I feel like I'm there now.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I should just say like, I feel like I just today, I'm like, I say I'm stressed too much. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be stressed about every little thing. And I'm like, I just need to talk to someone. So I think that's part of it. And I think, the author's comment as well about like, we really need to be vulnerable with each other mm-hmm. instead of engaging in even as more like first, like be vulnerable first before even engaging in like the, like, let me get a bottle of wine.
Right.
Because like that, we talked a little bit about that. Right.
Well, and I think as moms, we need to figure out, and as women, it doesn't matter if you have kids or not. If you're all of us in this life right now, in this fast pace and this hustle and the grind and whatever,
mm-hmm.
all we have of like face-to-face interactions feels like small slivers and small snippets. And in those moments, even if we're trying to have a meaningful conversation, we're listing activities like, how's your day going? Oh, sent out 43 emails, got my inbox down to 0. Okay, bye. You know, like, whatever it is. And it's finding those safe places and like the carved out moments of being able to say like,
how are you really doing?
Here's how I'm doing. And some of that is as much the approach to the question
mm-hmm.
as it is being prepared to answer it in a certain way. Like if I'm like, what's going on today?
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what? I'm ready to talk to a doctor.
Yeah.
But you don't say that.
Well, it's really not what I was coming for in this conversation.
Well, let's say you were like wanting to tell me that.
Right.
And the way I came to you was like, oh, what a morning. It's been the worst. Ugh. How's your day?
Right.
You would. But in some cases, like people wouldn't feel like that was a good setup to be like,
me too.
You know what? I'm really like, me too, to the point that I want to seek medical attention or, you know,
I think
like,
I think it kind of depends. Cause I think it would be harder for me because misery loves company.
That's true. So if I were like, today was the best day, I got so much done. The girls and I did blah, 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 blah. Work is killing it. How's your day?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm sucking at all of it.
Yeah. That's like, great that you're doing that.
Yeah. That's great for you. I'm really happy for you. Like the regular smiley emoji with like no extra, but I mean, I don't know. I actually think it'll be easier for me. Like it would be easier for me to open up. Although I have, and I am trying to like, I've made a big effort to try and be super honest with people when they ask.
You're very good at
probably it. Probably to people's like,
to people like exchange
really
glances. But
what you can just say fine next time.
Yeah, right. But that's my go-to. So somewhere in the middle,
maybe like between Caroline and I, like not TMI, the Caroline's on her period.
Sorry about that, everybody.
No, but I mean, I think there's a line, but I think we've got to at least form a couple relationships where we can open up with. And then even still, like, even if it's like a casual relationship, you can still say like, not great.
Yeah.
Like, you can still be like, you know what? Like, because I think there's a stigma about like not doing well because of this whole like perfect social media lifestyle that everyone puts out. So it's like, oh my gosh, I'm having like just a rough day. Like, you don't have to, you don't even have to go into detail. Just like, I don't know, I'm having a hard time. Work's hard. Life's hard. It's hot.
Well, and two, like, even if you don't have access to like a peer your age or in your life stage, I think there's probably something really valuable about somebody older than you.
True.
Like saying like, I was reading something.
So I talk to my parents multiple times a day.
Sure. I know you do. That's why I talk to your parents multiple times a day. Just kidding. But like, you know, I was reading something about the value of perspective and these women watching like moms of our generation feeling like you really have to be everywhere and at every class party and at every whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much more perspective on the other end of like, my kids are older now and they don't remember that one Easter party in their 3-year-old preschool class that I still remember because I wasn't there, you know?
Yes, like, exactly. Or that it was such an event to get there.
Yeah, exactly. And like, is it really worth it? Is the ROI worth it? And I think right now we weigh everything as the exact same urgency.
True.
For our kids at the expense of our own selves. Like,
for sure.
To me, I'm like, well, I can handle it. So it doesn't matter. But I do feel the urgency to be X, Y, and Z at the expense of me. Like,
yeah.
I feel bottomed out right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, totally. You know. I mean, that's how I feel. I mean, I've been talking about like dreading summer break for a little while. And then I was like, all right, I need to
spring.
Since January. Yeah. And I'm like, I need to change my attitude. Like, summer break is going to be great. Summer break has sucked so far.
But, you know,
and
it's
we're
not
one
always...
week in and a half by the time this airs. Maybe things have changed
in the 48 hours. Yeah. Future Hannah loves summer break.
Future Hannah's having the best time living my best life.
But I think that is. That, though, is so telling to me, and it's okay to say, like, the pressure is not all on you to change your attitude about it. Like,
yeah, but it feels like it is.
For sure.
It feels like it's all on me.
But that's where it's like, okay, there are some things that can help that. But
right.
When we are, there's no way you're going to win in that equation.
Because
you're going to be, like, that weird, like, manic on edge person with, like, the grimace emoji, like, gritting your teeth. Yeah, like, isn't this so much fun?
That does feel like me.
We're loving this.
I'm like, smile!
Right.
I'm trying to take a picture.
But like, that is so miserable. It's miserable. It's got to be.
It is. It's rough. My life is very rough.
That's what I'm hearing.
Feel free to pity me, everyone.
And also, if you can write prescriptions,
DM me, please. No questions asked. But yeah, so I don't know. What are your other thoughts? Like, what would you... I don't feel like I have a problem opening up to people.
Uh-huh.
But okay. you feel like you usually say fine. So like, what would be your advice for someone like to like get more comfortable with opening up? Not to be like too open, to be open to your comfort level.
Yeah.
Make the leap. Just like try saying you're not doing great one time.
That. I mean, find a friend who is open. Like, I do think that there is like this kind of choreography when you're starting a new friendship of like feeling out the openings. So if somebody is a little bit open, I would challenge you to reciprocate with something of you because they're probably putting themselves out there too to see like, is this where this can go or can it not?
Right.
Because every friendship kind of starts on the surface level.
That's true. Yeah.
Usually unless it's like born out of tragedy, like mutual tragedy, you know, like.
That is weirdly specific.
Well, I'm thinking about like these friends in the organization that I work with that they became friends.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
Like in a, their daughters were, or children were both receiving chemo treatment.
That yeah,
so
that's,
like
that's
immediately
completely true.
That like
that's not where my men went at all. But
that's,
yes,
like, levels
that makes
playing
sense.
Fields.
Yeah.
Did you think I meant like they'd both been in a car accident?
Yes.
Like,
okay. One was in one car and one was in the other car.
That's what I meant.
And it was like a total accident and it was a rainy day. That's what I thought.
Yep. Okay.
Everyone walked away fine.
Of course,
the cars were totaled.
Okay. So I had a friend like that. No, but really like. Look for the opportunity to share something a little bit personal and edge it a little bit at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like,
maybe
I feel
not
like,
all in at once. But.
No, because that like scares people away. And
right.
Like, especially if it's somebody that you are friends with at work, you know, like start to kind of slide in some.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff.
That's true.
Like,
do you want to get a coffee? I could really use a coffee break.
Yeah. Or like, ugh, on top of like that meeting this morning. Also, I was running late this morning because X, Y, or Z, you
right.
know, like,
yeah.
And I think, to your point, people do, like, commiserate. So
Yeah, you, like, you want to, like, meet someone where they're at. It's like I mentioned about in relation to people bragging about their husbands. Like, you don't, like, if someone's like, oh, I'm having a hard time, you don't want to be like, well, my relationship's great, so well, you're suffering, I'm not.
I wish I could relate. I have the perfect relationship.
Yeah, I
know. Which is what often happens.
Me too,
here.
Same.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I mean, as much as I pretend like I want to really intimidate people, like.
Sure. Yeah, I get that vibe.
I do
very clearly from you.
I do want to front because everyone thinks that I have it all together, but. There is something that is just really refreshing, and like, always think about how good it feels to like finally let something off your chest and like approach friendships that
good
way.
Point.
And
yeah.
that like be that to somebody else, because chances are really high that person can ultimately be that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it means that every friendship that you have on that level forges this long lasting bond, but there can be like the person that you go to because you can connect over childcare at work.
Oh, totally.
Or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Like everyone doesn't. I've kind of realized this in the last, I would say, couple years. Like, everyone doesn't have to be
everything
for you.
Yeah.
Like, you can have people that you go to vent about work
yeah.
who really gets you on that level. And you can mm-hmm. have someone who gets you when you talk about your relationships
yeah.
or, like, your hopes and dreams. Like, all these different parts of your life.
And I think that that is part of it. Like, we try too hard to be that for the everything to everybody. And we
true.
Expect that from other people. And so every relationship that you enter feels so intimidating because it's
right.
with this, like, so unlikely expectation that you will be, like, soulmates, everything. And
right.
we weren't designed to be that way for
yeah.
each other.
And then, like, if there's one thing that maybe you don't agree on, you're like, well, it's all going to come. This is so disappointing. It's
mm-hmm.
all going to come crashing down. And it's like, no, you can just be like casual friend. Like everyone
yeah.
doesn't have to be like your emergency contact.
Right.
So that's really good advice on my part.
I'm glad we ended with that insight for you. No, but I do think that's true. And again, if you feel like we were talking about this on the way up here, like the way that you start to feel like you're out of control. And mm-hmm. I think that you will notice a theme in your feeling of, I don't feel like me
yes.
like anymore. This has been going on so long that now I don't really remember what it feels like to not feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's probably when you should ask for some kind of intervention of a professional party to
yeah.
be like, help
therapy,
me map this.
Like a doctor's advice. And I will say that I got there today by talking to 2 to 3 people about it.
Yeah.
Like, because like I started today, like, again, just feeling like super like stressed and
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know what. And I was trying to think like, what can I do to like relieve my anxiety?
Yeah.
And I was thinking of different things I could do. But to me, those things just feel like items on a to-do list.
Yeah.
Which stresses
that is
me
true.
Out more.
Yeah. For me, before I started taking medication, it felt like anything that could possibly relieve my stress felt like too big of a burden to even try.
Right. Like ideally things like I thought, oh, I can walk my dog by myself once a day. And then I thought it's going to stress me out to try and make that happen
mm-hmm.
for multiple reasons. I could go to yoga. I love going to yoga.
Yeah, same.
But it is sometimes very stressful to get my children out the door
yeah.
to get to a class on time.
And then if you're late.
Right. And then I'm like, oh, this is a great grounding moment now that I've like yelled at my kids to get in the car to come here.
Do you feel like a hypocrite when you're in that? Like, because I do. If I'm like going to something that's supposed to be cathartic and then I'm like, oh, yeah, I do love my kids.
I have
great.
Multiple like, times apologized to them after a yoga class.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, because it stresses me out to get there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that can't be it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just talking to
like the return on that investment is not
right,
worth
yeah,
the
like,
front end cost.
Yeah. So I'm like, that can't be it. Like that's going to be. And then if I have to miss it
mm-hmm.
and I rely on that for like my anxiety and my mood, like
yeah.
then what? Like it all goes to hell.
Yeah.
So I was talking to, So I was getting my hair trimmed today and the amount of times that I'm stressed or I'm anxious about that, even when just talking about my hair.
Mm-hmm.
came up because I really wanted my hair colored, but I'm like, we go to the pool so much and I have to go to the pool to keep them happy. And if like my hair gets wet, like if you color my hair and then like, it's going to get all bronzy and blah. And she was like, oh my gosh, like what you need to talk to someone.
Yeah.
And just like her saying that was like, oh my gosh,
you're
do.
So right.
Like, and then
everything like kind of fell into
it
place
did.
For you.
Yeah. It did. And then I talked to you and my other friend, our other friend, Lauren about it. And they were like both you and Erica, who cuts my hair
mm-hmm.
and is an amazing friend, were like, you need to be pointed in the right direction. Like, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But like, you might be pointing someone else in like a helpful direction. I'm not saying tell someone they need to go get on pills. Like,
here's what we all need.
Here's my advice. Pills.
Pharmaceuticals.
Yes. But I'm saying like before, like, don't feel nervous about trying to. At least say what's helped you.
Yeah, no, I think that's great.
You know, even if you don't want to offer advice or like say like, oh, my friend was dealing with that and she
mm-hmm.
said it really helped to talk to a doctor.
No, my friend from work, today was actually her last day, which is a bummer. But she had a baby not long after I had Anna Blair, and we just bonded when she came back to work about, I was a few months ahead of her in kind of like the postpartum thing,
right,
and started to recognize in some of her talking like a similar thing, and actually referred her to my therapist. And she said like that it was so helpful, but it feels like an intrusion. So like to tell somebody like, I think you need some help.
I mean, if you say it that way.
Listen, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm not qualified to have this conversation with you. But I do think that
you have to pay me and pay for my schooling.
But it is something that like to get a referral from a friend often feels like less intrusive than like from a parent or a husband.
Yeah.
Or like a spouse.
Yeah, that's true. Because sometimes
it doesn't feel offensive.
Really?
Like,
yeah.
If like, David was like, you are crazy too often, you need to go see somebody.
Oh, for sure.
I would like, definitely take, he wouldn't say it that
papers.
Way, but.
Here are the papers. Yeah. I have had them ready.
But if you said it, I'd be like, you're right.
I know. Oh, yeah, true. Like, I would go right back to Bassan and be like, Caroline said, I first of all need therapy. Second of all, I need like pills. And that's
here's
it.
The dosage she recommended.
I have
it's
put
fine.
In a like appointment request right now.
Isn't it funny? I mean, I do think that you just bristle more when it's somebody like
the closer someone is to you, it's like, no, your advice sucks.
Yeah, but you're a stranger. Sure. I think I can do that.
Someone on the street said, I need this pill and I took it.
And I feel great.
Yeah, it's a great day. Anyway.
Well, I hope that wasn't like too depressing.
Or like, yeah, I don't know. I hope it doesn't sound like we don't have it together because that's not the case.
Oh, no. It sounds like you don't have it together. I feel great. What I got from this is I'm not on medication anymore and I'm doing great.
Is what I'm hearing. Can you please give me the rest of your prescription?
Yes.
Just kidding. We're not doing that.
It's fine.
This is great.
Okay.
All right, let's get into our good ideas because bring it back around.
Yeah, sure.
To also sounding like we have our heads on straight.
As always, that's what we're here for.
As always, yeah. It sounded like a good idea to get into plants. As I've talked about every week.
We get it.
But like, you think it's like low key. Like you're like, oh, I'll start a garden. I'll do whatever. But
did you really think that you would be low-key about it?
Oh, well, yes.
Okay.
I did think that about myself.
Okay, good.
I thought it would be fine.
Okay, great.
Is what I'm saying. But, like, there are hidden costs that are, like with any hobby, you're just like, oh, this will be, like, I don't know, to me, okay, again, fine, it's me, fine.
It was a free hobby to do.
I thought, like, oh, this will be easy. I'll, like, purchase one plant. It'll cost, like, $10.
Yeah, so no, I do get
that's
that.
That's, like, it. But, like, I just always think everything's going to be fine. And then I, like, don't take on... Like,
oh, I never think through the plan.
I'm just like, it could not be fine. Like, I need to think that
way. No, there's
way.
No way that it could
not
be.
Yeah, exactly. You just have, like, the soil and the pots. And, like, also now, like, you have to get, like, trendy planters or else you're garbage. It's obvious.
When you're rich.
Yeah. So, anyway. And now I have collected all these plants. But, like, my cat and, like, several plants are toxic to cats and dogs. My dog doesn't care.
Oh, sure.
But, like, my cat is, like, all over them. And so they're
really?
Like bite marks.
Do you have a death wish?
I don't know. And like looking them up, all of them say like, keep away from cats.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like over there watching him like literally bite off a leaf and like drop it on the floor and then go for another one. And like, and I'm like, what's actually wrong with you?
He has a death wish for Ridley. Yeah, he's trying to off the dog.
It's like leaving crumbs. Yeah. That's, like, that's probably it. Anyway, so now not only do I have like all these accessories and accoutrements of my plant hobby and my outdoor garden, I have to figure out like a nice shelving situation because now I'm like, well, I need plants. Now I need my air purified. So I've got to get them all up high because otherwise Jasper will get them. Probably he won't on a shelf. I can't.
I bet he will.
So anyway, this is a stressful situation for me. And that's
I get that.
Where I'm at.
Hobbies sounded like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, hobbies sounded like a good idea at the time.
That's great.
Plants.
So last night we went to dinner at Allison's house. Friend of the pod.
Nanny
of the pod. Nanny of the pod.
A doler out of amazing advice.
Yes. So we went to her house as a family. David got to join too. So it was actually our whole family, not just our abbreviated
family. Not just everyone being like, oh,
our normative
welcome,
family.
Single mom.
Yeah. As always. It was so great. And it was great to be at her house because she has a setup that all the girls, in theory, could go to bed.
That is ideal.
Yeah. Well, Nora Beth, like it was way past her bedtime. It was like 9 o'clock and she goes to bed at like 6:30. So
that is late for her.
But Allison,
for any kid, but
yeah, Allison and Anna Blair was actually still kicking around that time too. And she goes to bed at like 5:30.
Yeah.
But they were so happy because we had been talking this whole thing up of like, well, when it gets dark, you can go get fireflies.
Oh,
which
no.
Which they've never seen because they've never.
So late.
Well, they've never seen dark.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
They don't know what that is.
When you say dark, what do you.
Describe that. So probably like at this moment, like my favorite memory to date right now is of like running around their yard last night, like trying to catch fireflies. Aww. And realizing that I am old and cannot see like anymore. Like I could not track
these
things.
Are there fireflies?
Yeah, what are these? Like I could see them glowing, but you know, like when I was little, the minute they stopped glowing, I could catch them.
Yes.
It was very
hard.
Can we
not do that anymore?
No.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Good luck. We'll try it. We'll try it.
I don't know if I want to get to that place of realization.
But Allison brought out this jar that she'd poked holes in so Norbeth could catch them. And like we thought catching two would be the thing to like really get her to feel like
yeah.
that was a thing. She was committed to catching 10
sure.
plus more. Because if two
plus
is
more.
Good. Like, and so she had every single person that was there, like, take her out into the yard to catch some. So we all got practice catching these fireflies. Allison sent us home with the jar.
Oh, no.
Of 10 plus fireflies. That I guess, like, had probably been, like, traumatized because they would not glow. And Norbeth was like, shaking and trying to make them glow.
She's like Darla from Nemo.
That's exactly right. They're not glowing. And they live out in the country, so it's like beautiful watching.
Yeah.
From, but the minute that we got them in the jar, these country bugs like didn't want anything to do with this like high rise living. Yeah,
that's not our situation.
So when we got home, we took her to bed because she was asleep, and I didn't really know what to do with the jar because
right.
I told her like if you've never seen them in our yard, if we just open the jar here, then they'll live in our yard.
Sure, that's how.
It's not what
that
she wanted.
Works.
It's not what she wanted. She wanted to see them in the morning, but didn't want them beside her bed. So I left them outside. They were dead this morning. So she was like shaking them. She's like, the fireflies aren't working. And I'm like, because it's not night.
The light bulb's burned out. That's why.
Well, she's trying to turn one on, you know, like the
sure.
whole thing. So now they're just all at the bottom of the jar. And I'm like, I'll leave it for Allison to take care of tomorrow.
Said that they were stolen by fairies.
Well, she's very into heaven. And so.
Oh, that would have been an easy one.
Yeah. Well, she'll be
we
like.
We killed them and they went to heaven. That's
well,
essentially
like, you know what happens when you get to heaven? You get a new body. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. So anyway. Maybe now the fireflies have
yeah.
a new body in heaven.
All right. Well, great show. Let's please rate, review, subscribe.
We'll see you next week.